就说我要读圣经，求恳求就求弟兄姐妹莫听莫想。马太福音18:23，天国好像一个王，要和他仆人算账。才算的时候，有人带了一个欠1000万银子的来，因为他没有什么赏房之物，主人吩咐把他和妻子儿女并一切所有的都卖了赏房。那仆人就俯伏拜他说，主啊，宽容我，将来我都要还清。那仆人的主人就动了慈心，把他释放了，并且免了他的债。那仆人出来遇见他的一个同伴欠他10两银子，便揪着他掐住他的喉咙说，你把所欠的还我。他的同伴就俯伏央求他说，宽容我吧，将来我必还清。他不肯，继续把他下在监里，等他还了所欠的债。于是主人叫了他来，对他说，你这恶奴才，你央求我，我就把你所欠的都免了。你不应当怜惜你的同伴，向我怜惜你吗？这是上帝的话语。弟兄姐妹请坐，我们欢迎李凯传道来证道。
好，我们一起来祷告。
Let us pray.
天父，求你这个时候安静我们的心。
Then Father, we pray that you quieten our hearts.
向我们心里说话。
And you speak to us.
向我们转向你。
And we can turn towards you.
好，让我们能够来跟随你。
And we can follow you.
祷告奉主耶稣的名， Amen.
In Jesus' name, we pray, Amen.
今天的主题是饶恕的心。
So this topic is on a forgiving heart.
这个孩子名叫 Dylan Roof。
So this person's name is called Dylan Roof.
他是一个美国白人极端主义者。
So he's an American white supremacist.
在2015年的时候，他拿了一把枪进了一个非洲裔的教会开枪。
And so in 2015, he took a gun and entered an African church and started shooting.
他射杀了9个人。
And he killed 9 people.
其中一个受害者的女儿在公开场所对这个凶手这么说。
So a daughter of one of the deceased publicly said this to the shooter.
他说，我饶恕你，你夺走了我生命中最珍贵的东西，我再也无法与他交谈，再也无法拥抱他，但我还是饶恕你。
So she said, I forgive you. You took something really precious from me. I will never talk to her ever again. I will never be able to hold her ever again, but I forgive you.
但很讽刺的，在隔天，在一个网上，有人写了这么一句话。
And so ironically, someone posted on the web the next day.
他这么说到，快速的饶恕等同于无法让不公平的行为承担应有的责任。
And so this comment said, quick forgiveness translated into the inability to hold perpetrators of injustice accountable for their behavior.
这件事跟这个人的回应也让我们重新思考饶恕的意义。
And so this helps us reflect on the meaning of forgiveness.
饶恕是我们人生中最难学的一个功课。
And forgiveness is one of the hardest lessons to learn in our life.
但是如果你要跟随主做主的门徒，这个是个必修课。
But if you want to follow Christ, this is a very core lesson we all need to learn.
所以真正符合圣经的饶恕是什么呢？
So what is true biblical forgiveness?
饶恕他人是否意味着让伤害你的人逃避责任？
So does forgiving someone means you help abusers escape responsibility from their wrongdoings?
如何才能以更整全的方式来饶恕？
Or what is needed in order to extend this forgiveness in a more holistic manner?
为什么即使我们已经饶恕了，但我们仍然还会感到受伤和愤怒？
Then why do we still feel hurt and angry even after we have forgiven the people who have offended us?
好，所以我们来看第一点，什么是圣经里的所描述的饶恕。
And so the first point is on what is biblical forgiveness.
刚才我们读的比喻都知道，有一个人欠了国王1000万两银子。
And so in the parable that we just read, someone owed the king 10,000 bags of gold.
因为他没办法偿还的，王就跟他说，把他 跟他的家人都卖了成来还来抵这个债。
And so because he wasn't able to pay, the master ordered him and his family to be sold to repay this debt.
这个人就跟王祈求，王就动了怜悯之心，然后就免了他的那个债，释放他。
But this servant begged for mercy, and the king took pity on him, and he canceled his debt and let him go.
可是当他刚出去的时候，他又遇到另外一个欠他十两银子的仆人。
So, but when his servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins,
同样的，这个人也求他免了给他宽恕他，但是这个仆人不愿意，就把他投在监狱里头。
But similarly, this servant who owed him fell on his knees and begged for mercy, but this servant refused and threw him into prison.
所以当这个国王知道这样的事情的时候，就把第一个仆人同样的把他丢在监狱里头。
And so when the king found out, he also reprimanded this servant and threw the first servant back into prison.
我们看一下那个罪债是什么？罪债是1,000,000 银子。
So let's look at this debt. So this debt is 10,000 talents.
好，我们来想想这一千万两是到底是多少啊？按照我们现金来看是多少
？So let's look at how much this sum is in today's time.
对，一天的工资当时是一个银子。
So this wage then is 1 silver or 1 denarii.
Okay, 如果按照我们今天不知道你的工资多少，我就大概猜了，每个人的工资大概是1,200块。
So if you were to roughly count, you might around $1,200 today.
一天的工资是200，你是1,200。
Oh, sorry. One day is 200. My math is very bad. So.
Okay. 好，如果说200乘1,000,000两是20亿现金的这个价钱。
So if one day is 200 and you times $10 million, you get $2 billion.
Okay. 那我们看一下哈，如果按我们一年工作天是250天，所以250乘200块钱等于5万。
So in one whole year, there are 350 working days, and total you will have an annual income of around $50,000.
所以就说你的年收入大概是5万块左右了。
Yeah, so your annual income will be $15,000.
所以我们来看呢，我们需要几年来偿还这个二十亿的债务
？So to pay off this $2 billion worth of debt, you need 40,000 years.
Okay, 数学算做出来给你了，已经四万年，对吗？四万年。
Yeah, so you need 40,000 years.
你想想这是一个什么数字
？So how big this number is?
这是一个天文数字
，and this is a huge, huge amount.
所以从里头我们看得到，你这辈子是完全还不清的。
So you can see that this is something you can never repay in your life.
你的子子孙孙也还不清这个债务。
Even your children, your generations are not able to repay this.
我想在这里要比喻要表达的就是，我们欠的那个债是永远还不清的。
So what this parable is trying to say is that this debt that we owe, we can never repay it.
但不单如此，他让我们看到这个王他的心是多么的宽大，他能够赦免。这样大的一个债务
，But we also see how merciful this king is to be able to forgive this debt.
然后我们看这个仆人，当他欠那个债务的时候，他的请求是什么
？But then we also see what the servant's request is.
圣经说里头说嘛，他跟那个王请求说：“主啊，容我将来都还清。”
So the servant said that, "Be patient with me, and I'll pay back everything."
你想象他能够还清这笔债务吗
？So do you think he's able to repay everything?
这是完全不可能的。
So this is not possible at all.
这里很多时候，就像我们的宗教信仰一样，我们尝试，我们尽量做好、做美、做善，但是遵守严格的那些仪式，但是我们永远没办法还清我们的罪债。
So likewise in our religion, no matter how much good we do, how much we do, we are never able to repay this debt.
我们永远不可能靠自己的努力到达天堂。
We are never able to go to heaven through our own efforts.
我们看第三点，讲到这个承受王的宽恕。
And the third one would be the king's forgiveness.
我们看到这个债务是何等的大，没办法偿还，因此王就宽恕了他。
So we see that this debt is too large to ever be repaid, and so the servant begs for the king's patience.
这个是宽容宽恕就意思是。它的原文代表就是承受的意思。
And so this word to be patient means long suffering.
当一个人没办法还那个债务的时候，某个人总是要承担那个代价。
So if someone is unable to pay something, someone has to pay the price.
当他欠我这个钱，他没办法偿还，我免了他的债，就代表说我去承受那个代价。
So if someone owes me something and I forgive this debt, means I need to pay the price of this.
这个承受代价，他必须要承担当中的痛苦。
And so to bear the cost means to bear the cost of this suffering.
我们看到这当中承受所谓的痛苦或者代价是这个国王。
And so the person who is bearing this cost is the king.
因此，饶恕代表什么呢？饶恕代表一种自愿的承受痛苦、 当你饶恕时，你不去报复他，你选择去承担这个代价。
And so you see here, forgiveness is a form of voluntary suffering. And in forgiving, rather than you getting back at the person, you make the choice of bearing this cost instead.
我们看到不但如此，那个仆人啊被赦免之后，他的新的罪行。
And so after this servant was being forgiven, he had a new offense.
下一个场景，当这个仆人离开这个王的面前的时候，他遇到另外一个仆人，那个仆人欠他十两银子。
And so after this servant left the king, he met a servant, and this second servant owed him 100 coins.
所以十两银子是大概十天的工资。
So it's around 10 days worth of wages.
对比十天的工资跟四万年的那个欠债。
So you would compare 10 days worth of debt versus 40,000 years of debt.
所以这边是一个很强烈的对比，告诉我们，我们欠彼此的，或者是我们欠对方欠我们的，跟上帝比起来是个天文数字。
So this is a huge comparison. The debt between each other, between us versus the one we have with God is very, very different.
所以最后一点讲到判决王的那个愤怒。
And so the last one we see the king's reprimand.
王说什么呢？王说：“你这恶奴才，你央求我，我把你所欠的债都免了。你不应当连续你的同伴向我连续你吗
？”And so the king said, "You wicked servant, I cancel all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?"
所以这里的信息很明确。
So the message is very clear.
我们就是这个仆人。
So we are this servant.
当神饶恕了我们的罪债的时候，耶稣基督为你付了这个代价。
So when God has forgiven us, Jesus Christ has paid this price for us.
他为你承受所有的痛苦。
And he has, he was willing to bear all of this suffering for us.
当我们不能够饶恕别人欠我们的债的时候
，But when we could not forgive the debt that people owe us,
我们对比耶稣替我们承受的。
So when we compare this to what Jesus had bear for us,
可能我们还没真正的看到耶稣所受的痛苦，所以导致我们很难去饶恕别人。
So perhaps we have not seen the suffering Jesus had, therefore we are not able to forgive other people.
这个是个不容易的事情。
And this is not something that is simple.
所以每次当我们挣扎饶恕人的时候，我们需要回到十字架面前。
So every time when we struggle with forgiveness, we need to return to the cross.
我们对比那个债务。
We need to compare this debt.
别人欠我们的跟耶稣，我们欠耶稣的完全是微不足道。
What others owe us versus what we owe Jesus is very different.
但是这是个我们每一个人必学的功课。
But it is something we all need to learn.
我们从里头学到什么功课呢？有关于饶恕的原则呢
？So what principles of forgiveness can we learn from this?
所以第一个原则是我们需要承认过犯。
So the first thing is we need to acknowledge our wrongdoings.
我们看到讲到这个仆人带到王的面前的时候，很具体的说他欠了这个王一千万两银子。
So we see here that the servant owed 10,000 bags of gold.
所以饶恕是从哪里开始？饶恕是从把那个具体犯的罪讲出来。
And so forgiveness starts with telling the truth.
它不是糊里糊涂，它不是半真半假，或者是掩盖事实。
So there is no cover up or there are no half truths.
所以一个人要来到上帝的面前要悔改的时候，他必须要认罪。
And so when you come to repent before Jesus, you need to confess your sins.
我们不说我要信主，我要信主。更重要的是，我们要看到我们哪里得罪了上帝。
You don't just say, "Oh, I want to believe in God," but you need to see where you have offended God.
所以这是一个第一个条件，我们必须要认罪。
And so the first thing is to you need to repent and confess your sins.
第二个饶恕的原则是什么？我们要看那伤害你的人跟你自己一样都是罪人。
And so the second is that we need to identify with the offender as a fellow sinner.
他伤害我，我伤害他。
And this person offended me, I've offended him.
我们都是罪人。
We are all sinners.
你看到第一个仆人跟第二个仆人的对话，跟彼此的对话，或者跟王的对话，都是一样的。
So you can see the similarity between these two servants in their response.
因为我们都是罪人。
Because we are all sinners.
第三点，我们学到什么原则？就是自己承担债务，释放那伤害你的人。
So the third principle is that when we absorb this debt, we release the person.
当你要饶恕人，你要原谅人的时候，换句话说，你就是替他承担那个伤害。
So when you forgive this person, means you bear the cost of this suffering.
今天 Daniel 打破了我家的花瓶。
So today I broken Pastor Lee's vase, which I didn't.
这花瓶是1,000块钱的花瓶。
Okay, so this vase is $1,000.
你需要赔给我。
And I need to pay him.
当我说我饶恕你的时候
，So when he says that I forgive you,
我替他承担了这笔花瓶的钱。
So he had bought this cost for me.
总是有人要承担那个代价。
So there must always be someone to bear this cost.
当一个人得罪了另外一个人，你要饶恕他，那总是要有人承担那个代价。
So when someone offends another and you want to forgive, someone must bear the cost.
那个代价不会自己消失，就完全没有的。
So this cost will not go away on its own.
所以饶恕人其中一方总是要承担代价。
And so to forgive you need to, someone has to bear this cost.
最后一个原则是讲到要饶恕就是要修复那个关系而不是断绝关系。
And so the last principle is that to forgive you need to reconcile this relationship instead of breaking off from this relationship.
我们看第一个仆人跟他王求的时候王就释放了他原本王是要把他卖了跟他的家人都卖了成为可能奴隶这样子但是这个王释放了他他还能够自由的从王的面前出来。
And so initially, when the master wanted to sell this servant and the family, but instead he forgave him and let him go.
王修复了跟他的关系，依然是君王，依然是他的仆人。
And that this king reconciled this relationship. They are still master and they are still servant.
他没有把这个仆人卖了。
And that he did not sell this servant away.
所以我们做一个小总结，饶恕的原则有什么？
And so what to do a small conclusion, what are the principles of forgiveness?
我们要承认过犯，我们不是这样一扫而过。
And so we need to acknowledge that this sin and not cover it up.
然后呢，我们要视对方跟我们一样都是罪人。
So we need to identify with the offender as a fellow sinner.
你若要饶恕人，你必须要承受那个代价。
And so if you want to forgive someone, you need to absorb this cost ourselves.
然后最终饶恕里头必须或者是需要以那个修复关系为目标。
And the last one is to aim for reconciliation with this person.
我们来看世俗哈对饶恕的那种不同的看法，基本有两种。
Let's look at how the secular world approach forgiveness.
有一种方式就是治疗式的饶恕。
So the first one is therapeutic forgiveness.
治疗式的饶恕讲到我只关注我个人的需要，我的身体那个情绪的健康，而不是。在乎那个关系修复与否，也不在乎是否有公义在当中。
So this forgiveness focuses on the self. It emphasizes on emotional well-being rather than reconciling or justice.
这种治疗的饶恕，它主要是帮助我们去消除心中的仇恨那种苦毒。
So this helps people forgive by releasing your personal anger and your resentment.
它一般不会要求那个伤害你的人认错或者承担任何责任。
So usually it will not require repentance or accountability from the wrongdoer.
它仅限于我自己个人的得医治。
But the main focus is on the self, on my own well-being.
它也不考虑那个关系是否修复与否。
And it does not care about whether this relationship is being reconciled.
这种方式虽然是好帮助我们去释放心中的苦毒。
So although this helps us release our resentment,
但它缺乏圣经里头所教导里面的更深层的饶恕，就是包括真理与恩典。
But it lacks the depth of biblical forgiveness, which includes both truth and grace.
所以往往都是以个人为主，先考虑你个人的治疗，然后而不是修复关系。
So this tends to be individualistic, and you prioritize self-healing rather than relationship restoration.
另外一种饶恕，世界所说的就是配得或者是交易式的饶恕。
So the second kind is merited or transactional forgiveness.
换句话说，那是那个得罪你的人必须要赚取，以至于他能够。你才能够饶恕他。
So in other words, the offender needs to earn this forgiveness.
他比如这样子说，你只有你改变，我才饶恕你。
And so you might say that only if you were to change, then I will forgive you.
当你经历了和我一样的痛苦的时候，我才饶恕你。
So only when you have experienced the same kind of suffering, then I will forgive you.
有时候我们都会这样子，对吗
？So sometimes we might be like that.
我让你吃不了兜子走，不然的话我很难饶恕你。
So you,
okay. 这种饶恕是通过个人的努力来获取的。
And so this forgiveness is earned and not freely given.
它不是一种恩典。
So it's not a form of grace.
它在意的是公平公义。
But it focuses on fairness instead.
所以这种极端的变成很律法主义，以好的表现来换取饶恕。
And so it becomes very legalistic and becomes transactional based on your performance.
所以这种的观点跟圣经有什么不同呢？
So how do these contrast with biblical forgiveness?
圣经的饶恕是不单只是个别性的，它也是群体性的。它讲究个人的意志，也维护群体性的那个公义。
So biblical forgiveness is both personal and communal, and it seeks personal healing while upholding justice for the community.
这边讲到那个公义，我们要知道哈。
And so when this justice we speak about.
虽然公义很重要，但是在我们的今生这个世界里头，我们没办法完全实行公义。
So even pursuing this justice is very important. It is impossible to attain this complete justice in our life.
因为我们活在这个犯罪的世界里头，我们的制度、我们的判断都不完善。
Because we live in a flawed world, so our judgment is already flawed.
但是这并不代表我们就没有这个责任去判断是非的。
So it does not excuse us from the responsibility to discern between right and wrong.
无论是制度或者是法官能够做到多少。但是仅限于此。
So a system and a judge can do a lot, but they can only do so much.
真正的公义就有一天来到主再来的时候才能够施行出来。
So the true justice can only happen when, only in heaven, in the hands of God.
所以圣经的这个饶恕是在恩典与问责之间的平衡，而世俗的模式一般只是倾向其中一方。
And so biblical forgiveness usually, it balances grace and accountability, whereas in, secular models, it tends to emphasize one at the expense of the other.
所以我们来看一看圣经里所讲的饶恕，它需要什么因素。
So let's look in the Bible, what is needed for a healthy and wholesome forgiveness.
在提摩太凯勒这本书饶恕里头有提到，要得到这种健康跟健全或整全的饶恕，它需要两个关键点。
And so in the book Forgive by Timothy Keller, he describes two key components that we need to have this kind of forgiveness.
第一个是内在的饶恕，就讲到你内心的饶恕。
So the first one he spoke of is internal forgiveness.
内心的饶恕就是我放下那个苦毒，我不追求，我不怨恨那个人，我不没有这个报复的欲望。
So this inwardly, you let go of this bitterness and you let go of this resentment.
不管对方认不认错，我都不报复他。
This is regardless if the offender confesses their sin.
我们受害者把我们的痛苦、我们的苦毒交给神，我们不让这些苦毒来吞噬我们。
And as the victim, we surrender this to God instead of being consumed by this anger or resentment.
我们一起来读这段经文，一二三。这边讲到一个情景，当我们在祷告的时候，我们想起 有人冒犯了我们。
So when we pray, if you think about someone who had offended you,
这边用的词是该饶恕他，这个该是个命令式。
And so in this verse, it said that you should forgive them.
这是神的命令，要我们来先来饶恕那个人，才来到神的面前祷告。
And this is God's command for us to forgive the person and to come to Him in prayer.
所以后面那段经文让我们很困扰哈，好使你们的天父也饶恕你们的过犯。
And so in the second part of this verse, you say that so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins.
这是不是说我不饶恕人，上帝也不饶恕我？是不是也换句话说，我也失去了救恩
？So does this mean that if you don't forgive people, God will not forgive you and you lose your salvation?
不是这个意思。
So it does not mean that.
我们得救是本乎恩。因着信
So we are being saved is because of grace.
你饶不饶恕人并不代表神饶不饶恕你
Whether we forgive or not doesn't mean that God will not forgive us.
我们跟神的关系是长久不变的，不会因着你的做得好或做得不好而改变。
And so our relationship with God is not dependent on our behavior.
就这边讲的那个影响是什么呢？
So what is this effect that we are looking at here?
当我们不顺服神的时候，会影响我们跟神的团契，影响神的跟神的交通。
Our disobedience will affect our fellowship with God.
这会影响了你跟神的祷告。
And so this will affect our own prayer with God.
因此神要我们在祷告的之前的时候，我们去处理不饶恕的那个问题。
And so God commands us to settle our unforgiveness with others before we come to Him.
我们很容易说啊，我心里饶恕他，但是我不要跟他有任何瓜葛。
So we may say that I forgive this person, but I don't want to have anything to do with this person.
我们有时候会这样子，对吗？我饶恕那个人，但是我不要跟他挨得太近，我跟他不要有任何的关系。
So we might say this very often. I forgive you, but I don't want to have anything to do with you.
我们看到他都走得远远的。
And we want to see this person to be very, very far away from us.
因为他的身上有狐臭。
Because this person is smelly.
Okay.这不是神的心意。
But this is not what God desires.
神命令我们要彼此相爱。
But He commands us to love one another.
我们没办法在远距离的过程里头去爱一个人。
So we cannot love a person from a distance.
然而真正要相爱的时候，我们必须解决那个问题。
But in order to truly love each other, we need to reconcile this relationship.
解决问题必须要修复关系。
And to we need to resolve this issue and to mend this relationship.
因此，一个整全的饶恕，需要不单单只是内在的饶恕，它也需要外在的饶恕。
And so, other than internal forgiveness, we also need to have reconciliatory forgiveness.
内在的饶恕是不需要他跟我道歉的。
So this do not need the person to apologize to you.
但是外在的饶恕需要和解的饶恕。
But an external forgiveness needs you to reconcile with the person.
这个饶恕是关系层面，他追求关系的修复。
So this is a form that is relational.
他需要其中一方认罪悔改。
You need one party to confess.
好，我们一起来读这段经文。一二三。 这里有两部分的责任，第一个责任就是劝诫他。
So there are two different responsibilities here. The first one is to rebuke them.
那个字劝诫的意思代表着就是责备、延迟警戒、纠正错误。
So to rebuke means you confront this person until this error is corrected.
这并不代表我们要纠每一个错误。
So this doesn't mean that we must correct any sin that we see.
在这个经文的背景中，我们看到耶稣在前面是教导门徒有关于罪、有关于饶恕和信心的功课。
So for this context, this rebuke is when a brother or sister sins.
所以在第一、第二节里头，他有讲到耶稣警告那些绊倒别人的人，你们需要谨慎。
And so Jesus reminds these people that you need to be careful of those people who
绊倒别人的人啊、
stumble
someone. Stumble
someone, sorry.
Okay.所以这边强调的基督徒是有责任，在群体当中是有责任的。
And so we have this responsibility in our community.
你看旧约的那些人犯罪的时候，他们是在群体里头制裁他的罪，而不是单单去处理他的罪。
And so in the Old Testament, we see that it is a communal effort and it's not individualistic.
所以在什么情况下我们要责备呢？
So in what kind of context do we need to rebuke?
第三节这边讲到，就是当一个弟兄或姐妹犯罪的时候。
So we see here that when a brother or sister sins.
这个犯罪是讲他明显违背神的旨意，破坏他人跟那个人以神的关系。
And so these people, when they engage in actions, they are against God's will and are harming their relationship with others or with God.
当他这样子很明显得罪了神跟得罪人，他应当是被责备的。
So when a person does this, they deserve to be rebuked.
但是这个对峙的目的不是羞辱他。
But this is not to humiliate the person.
而不是也不是要惩罚他。
Nor to punish them.
而是他要他恢复与神的关系。
But to help them reconcile the relationship with God.
因为他得罪了神，得罪了人。
Because they have offended God and people.
当一个人破坏了基督身体的合一。
When someone has broken the sanctity of the Trinity.
或造成一些伤害，或者引导别人犯罪的时候，就应该对峙来纠正。
Or has caused others to sin, then this person needs to be corrected.
我们看到旧约里头一直在重复这样群体性的因着一个人的责任。影响整个群体。
And so we see this happening very often in the Old Testament.
这里不是说我们看到每个人犯罪，我们就鸡蛋里挑骨头，我就要跟你一直对峙，要求你完美。
So this doesn't mean that for every sin that you see, we need to go and rebuke and correct the person.
这边要解决的是那些不悔改、一直犯的一个罪。
But it is to address sin that is serious or those people who are unrepentant.
然后呢，第一个责任是讲到要劝诫他，第二个责任是讲到要饶恕他。
And so the first one is to rebuke, and the second responsibility we have is to forgive.
你看那个经文里头，它有一个饶恕的前提，就是他需要懊悔。
And so you see there's a condition which is if he repents.
所以这边讲的就是一个人要为他的罪负起那个责任，才能带来修复跟和解。
So only when a person is held accountable and repent, then forgiveness and reconciliation is possible.
我举一个例子来说。
So as an example,
一个有暴力的一个施暴的一个配偶。
So if there's an abusive spouse,
如果这个施暴的配偶没有为他的罪悔改改变的时候。
So if this abusive spouse is unrepentant of his sin.
受害者其实可以在内在他的心里头饶恕他。
The victim can forgive this person internally.
意味着他选择不怀苦毒不要报复他。
So this means that the person can choose not to hold on to this bitterness or revenge.
但是这只是一点罢了。
But this is just one half.
另外一点，他需要外在的饶恕。
The other half is that this person, the victim needs to have external forgiveness.
就是这个施暴者必须要承认他的罪，为他的罪负起那个责任。
Which is where the abuser needs to acknowledge his sin and take full responsibility.
只有这样的时候，才能够真正的和解，关系才能够修复。
Only then can true conciliation happen.
如果施暴者没有认罪悔改，而我们让那个受害者跟施暴者继续活在一个同在一个屋檐下，问题还是没有解决的。
And so if the spouse refuses to acknowledge the sin, is the problem that is will not be solved.
这个会让受害者继续面临这样的一个风险，也是不明智的。
And so it's not wise to risk the victim's safety by letting this continue.
因此，只有当他悔改后，关系的和解才有可能。
So therefore, only reconciliation is only possible if the abuser repents.
所以外在的饶恕强调的是公义和问责。
So external forgiveness acknowledges you need to have justice and accountability.
所以饶恕是表达我愿意重新建立起对他的那个信任。
So you forgive means that you are willing and you want to rebuild this relationship and trust.
这种信任的建立，它是一个过程，它不是一个马上的。
And so this is a process and it's not immediate.
直到我们看他真正的悔改有带来改变之后， 不然我们不会轻易重新信任这个人。
So until we see this person fully changed, we are unable to fully trust this person again.
所以除非我们在内在的饶恕和外在的饶恕两个结合起来，不然我们容易陷入其中的一端。
So unless we bring both internal and external forgiveness together, we will fall into just one than the other.
我们看这个马可福音十一章跟路加福音十七章中，我们需要摆在一起来看。
So we need to see both verses Luke 17 and Mark 11 together.
内在的饶恕是必要的，是一个神的命令。
So internal forgiveness is required by God.
但是外在的饶恕需要对方认罪悔改。
But external forgiveness depends on the person's repentance.
我们才能够实现整个关系的修复。
Only then can the relationship be reconciled.
但是呢？但是。
But.
即使对方没有道歉、没有悔改，我们内心还是可以饶恕那个人的。
Even if the wrongdoer do not change, internal forgiveness, will keep the forgiver from being trapped in bitterness.
外在的饶恕在有必要的时候需要追究责任，要问责。
But external forgiveness recognizes the need to ask for accountability.
我们回到十字架里头再来看。
And so we return back to the cross.
我们看到这个十字架，神看罪不是小事情。
And we see that the cross sees sin is not a very trivial thing.
实际上让我们看到神对罪的要求，那个公义的要求，以至于他愿意付上自己的生命，成为那个代价。
So the cross shows God's commitment to justice so much that he is willing to pursue it with his own life.
很多时候我们就说爱能够遮掩一切的罪。
A lot of time we say that love covers a multitude of sins.
但是圣经里都说爱是不喜欢不义，只喜欢真理呢。
But we see that in the Bible it says that love seeks truth.
我们很容易跑到另外一端，就说爱能够遮掩一切。
So a lot of times we go to one end and say that oh love can cover all of these sins.
神爱我们，但是神付出那个死的代价来承担我们人的罪。
So Jesus loves us, but he is willing to pay this price with his own death.
十字架不是轻公义重慈爱，也不是重慈爱轻公义。
So it is not belittling one and holding the other as the more important.
所以当耶稣在十字架死的时候，他既满足了是神的公义，也同时让神的饶恕向我们开门。
So when Jesus died on the cross, he satisfying the justice of God and also opening the door for forgiveness.
饶恕和公义不应该是相对立的。
And so forgiveness and justice should not be against one another.
所以有人这么说，讲到追求公义不是出于报复，而是承认所发生的事是错的，是重要的。并且应该被纠正。
So someone said, seeking justice is not out of vengeance, but justice is a way of saying that what happened was wrong, that it matters, and that it should be made right.
就我们来总结，做个小总结，一个整全健康的饶恕需要什么
？So let's look at what a healthy and wholesome forgiveness needs.
它需要内在的饶恕，我们内心的饶恕，不管对方道不道歉，我们还是能够不怀苦读。
So it needs us to forgive the person internally, regardless if the person repents or not.
但是这个还是不完整。
But this is not complete.
神要我们彼此相爱，这个彼此相爱需要修复关系。
But this, we also need to reconcile this relationship.
你要修复关系，你就需要处理罪的问题。
And so, if you want to reconcile this relationship, you need to deal with the problem of sin.
你需要让对方为他的错来承认，要负起责任。
You need the offender take accountability for his actions.
而不是草草了事，说算了算了。
And not just sweep it across.
这不是圣经的原教导。
And this is not what the Bible teaches.
我们如何和解
？And so, how do we reconcile?
圣经里头有几个原则可以让我们来考虑。
So there are a lot of different verses in the Bible for us to consider.
当我们被人冒犯的时候，我们必须要先自己来到神的面前祷告。
So when someone offends us, we need to come to God and pray.
因为如果我带着我的血气去跟他谈的话，肯定是谈掰了，可能还要动手呢。
So when we go to the person, when we confront the person in anger, it might end badly.
所以祷告帮助我们先处理我们心中的那种挣扎。
So we need to first pray to help us have the to settle this struggle.
我们祷告求神省察我们的动机。
So we pray to examine our heart's motive.
诗篇里头讲到主啊，省察我的心，让我知道里面有没有任何的罪。
And so in Psalms it says that for God to check our hearts to see whether we have any sin.
我们都不是完全的人，我们都有自己的自我在里头。
And so we have our own ego. We are not whole.
和解不容易，所以我们需要向神求智慧，该说什么，不该说什么。
And because reconciliation is difficult, we need to pray for wisdom for what to say and what not to say.
我们也需要求神来保护我们，因为撒旦在当中做破坏，我们需要在祷告，在这个省察我们的心的时候，神来保护我们这样的一个对话。
We also need to pray for cross protection because Satan is within this.
所以第二点我们可以做什么？我们先为自己的错负责。
So the second thing is that we need to take responsibility for our wrongdoings first.
我觉得我们可以这样子说， 打个比方，当你被别人冒犯，但是你想跟他和解，你可以先跟他谈，说问一问他，我觉得我们之间有一些问题，请你告诉我，我具体做了什么，导致于我们的关系这么紧张。
So if someone has offended you and you want to talk with this person, you can start with us that it appears to me that there's a problem between us. Please tell me specifically what I have contributed to this tension in our relationship.
所以你让对方先说他心中有什么不舒服的东西。
So you let the person say anything that they are not comfortable with us.
当然在说的过程里头，有些东西你可以澄清，可能是一个误会。如果有必要的时候，你可以道歉，求对方饶恕你。
So in the process, you may even ask for forgiveness from a person or clarify some misunderstandings.
我们可以先谦卑下来，让对方先说。
So we can humble ourselves and let the person speak first.
然后第三，我们可以做什么呢？我们可以针对具体的事件，而非品格来指责。
And so the third one is to address specific issues and not the character.
要我们需要谈很具体的事情，不然就是很泛泛，就是天马行空，什么都说了。We need to be specific in the things that we address. If not, we're very general. We're not sure what you're talking about. Okay. 好，所以这边讲到就是我们要谈具体的事情，我们不是指责他的品格。这件事在做的时候，我感受到什么，而不是说你这个人为什么这么肮脏，你这个人怎么这么懒惰，你为什么这么的罪恶。
So we need to address specific issues and not this person's character.
一般我们都需要先私下的谈。
And so usually we privately talk.
这是马太福音十八章的原则。当私下若谈不通的谈不拢的话，我们才带上一个两个。
So we see that in Matthew 18, you speak privately, and if you need, you take one or two along with you.
很少的层面，我们需要提升到更高层了，很少了。
And in extreme situations, you might even need to escalate this to higher leadership.
但是这是圣经的原则。
But this is a biblical rule.
好，第四点就是我们谈完之后，我们可以提一个建设性的一个解决方案。大家彼此能够共识。
And so lastly, you can suggest constructive solutions and that both of us will be able to agree and work on it.
这个东西容易吗？
So、
不容易。
Is this easy? It's not.
但是我们若要彼此相爱的，这个是要付出很多的努力。
But it takes a lot of effort if you want to love one another.
夫妻关系也是这样子。
A couple's relationship is like that.
吵架了之后，我们可以彼此冷战呢。永远不说话，你过我的，我过你的。
When you quarrel, you might have cold war, and you do not care about one another for a very long time.
但是你要幸福美满的婚姻，你必须真的是要很一直的不断的处理，不断的处理。
But if you want a happy marriage, you need to keep working on it together.
教会形容成家庭。
And church is described as a family.
所以在教会里头，面对这些冲突问题的时候，我们要努力去面对处理它，而不是我们就一扫而过。
And so in church, when we face these issues, we need to go and handle them and not just sweep across them.
这是很耗时耗精力的。
And this will take a lot of effort.
但是它带出来的结果是更美好的。
But the outcome is very great.
哪一个夫妻不吵架？
Which couple does not quarrel?
哪一个人在教会里头不跟人有冲突？
Who doesn't have any conflict with other people in church?
但是就是因为吵架、冲突、和解、谈拢了之后，关系才是更亲密的。
But only because of reconciliation, then the relationship can be even closer.
不然我们都是礼貌上的，你好，但是我不想跟你好，心里。
If not, it will just be very on the surface.
Honest, okay. 好，即便我们已经饶恕了，但有时候我们仍然会感到那个痛还在里头。
So even though we have forgiven this person, we might still feel hurt and angry.
饶恕是一个意志上的决定。
And so this forgiveness is a decision on our part.
情感有时候追不上那意志。
Sometimes our emotions are not able to follow through.
我想一个故事是我们很熟悉的故事，就是约瑟的故事。
So one story you might be very familiar with is the story of Joseph.
约瑟被他的兄弟被卖成为一个奴隶。
So Joseph was sold by his brothers into slavery.
当他在成为埃及宰相之前，他经历了十三年的痛苦。
So before he became the prime minister in Egypt, he had suffered for 13 years.
当各地发生饥荒的时候，约瑟的兄弟就来到埃及买粮。耶稣当时第一次就认出他们来。
And so when the surrounding lands had famine, his brothers came to Egypt to buy grains, and Joseph recognized them.
我看到这段经节是发生在第二次那个粮用完了，他们再回到埃及的时候。
So we see that in this verse is after the second time that they have used finished the grain, and so they return back to Egypt.
当约瑟向他的弟兄表明他的身份的时候，于是他放声大哭。
And when Joseph made himself known to his brothers, he wept so loudly.
尽管约瑟之前已经原谅了他们，但是当他看到弟兄的时候，他无法控制他的情绪，他放声大哭。
So even though he had already forgiven them very long ago, when he saw them, he could not control his own emotions and he wept.Loudly.
多年所累积的那种怨恨
So all these years of grievances they had
作为奴隶所受的屈辱跟痛苦
And all the pains and humiliations he had as a slave
在监狱里头熬过无数夜的不眠之夜
And the countless nights of sleeplessness in the prison
他或许他问为什么会发生在我身上
And he might ask himself why did this happen to me
当约瑟选择饶恕他的弟兄的时候并不意味着他压制自己的情绪
So when he forgave his brothers, it did not mean that he had suppressed or denied his own emotions.
相反的，当约瑟看他的弟兄的时候，他忍，即便他忍了这么多的伤害，他还是放声大哭。
But it demonstrated his commitment to forgive, even though he had endured a lot of hurt.
这个放声大哭告诉我们什么呢？他还在受伤。
So this weeping loudly shows that he is still hurting.
虽然他已经决定饶恕，但是他里面还有那个伤害。
Even though he has already decided to forgive, he still had this hurt in him.
但是他内心做这个决定，我要饶恕他们。
But he already made his decision internally that he will forgive them.
他咬紧牙根，靠着神的恩典，决定坚持要饶恕他们。
And that through God's grace, he had decided to forgive his brothers.
所以心中的那个是很矛盾的，里面又很难受，但是他已经决定了饶恕。
And so there is this internal conflict inside him.
所以痛苦跟那个愤怒是。很自然，当人对我们伤害的时候，他是很自然就会有的一个反应。
And so hurt and anger are very natural responses we have.
饶恕是选择放下报复。
But forgiveness is our choice to let down. So being able to forgive means we let down our desire for vengeance.
Yes. 然后我们，但是这个不会抹去我们里面的伤痛。
But this does not erase the hurt that we have.
情感的伤痛是需要时间来治愈的。
And so this emotional hurt, it will take time to heal.
所以在我们看到，它是在一个治愈的过程里头，那个痛苦跟饶恕是共同存在的。
And so this forgiveness and this hurt, they exist at the same time.
所以我们不要很天真，我饶恕那个人，我就没有任何的感觉了。
So you don't be naive and you think that, oh, I forgive this person and I don't have this hurt anymore.
我在想，在另外一个场景是在路加福音第23:34的时候。
So another common scene that we know is in Luke.
耶稣他的背后被鞭打了，撕裂了他的后背。
So when he was being whipped, his back was being torn apart.
他被钉在十字架的时候，每一次他一旦呼吸，他没办法支撑，他不是站在地上，他是用那个钉子来支撑他的身体。
And when he was kneeled on the cross, all of the nails were holding onto his flesh.
我们现在呼吸的时候，是因为我们坐着或者我们站着，有个东西支撑我们才能够呼吸。
So when we breathe, it's because either we are standing or we are sitting, there's something supporting us.
当耶稣被悬挂在十字架的时候，他是用钉子来支撑他来呼吸。
But when he was being hung on the cross, he was being held up by nails.
在这么痛苦的时候，他依然不但只是呼吸，他还说了这样的一句话。
Even though he was such tremendous pain, and he still cried out.
在最痛的时候，他说：“主啊，赦免他们，因为他不知道，他们不知道自己所做的。”
And so he said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing."
连呼吸都困难。不要再说，你还要再说话。
So even breathing is difficult. Even more painful it will be if you were to speak.
但是耶稣定义，他决定，即便再怎么的痛苦，他依然说出这样的一句话。
But he decided to speak this, even though the pain was too much.
在最痛的时候，他说了：“主啊，赦免他们。”
Even though the pain was unbearable, but he still prayed for God to forgive.
所以很多时候在做这个决定饶恕的时候。很多时候是在最痛苦的时候。
So a lot of times when we choose to forgive is often in our deepest hurts.
因为我们承担那个人对我们的伤害的那个代价。
Because we've already borne this cost that the person had done to us.
但耶稣一样的，他承担我们世人，不是一个人，世人所有人对天父的伤害。
And so like and for Jesus, he had borne the sin of everyone and not just one person.
这时候我们安静下心，我们邀请敬拜团，让我们有时间。来反思今天上帝对我们说的话。
And so let's quieten our hearts so that we will be able to respond to this message.
In 最痛的时候，他说了这句话。
So in his deepest hurts, he said,
没有苦毒的眼神，没有咒骂的怨恨。Without bitterness in his eyes and without curses in his grudges. 他在最痛苦的时候，他向这个世人敞开了饶恕的门。我们一起来唱这首歌，最痛的时候，我们也各自来到神的面前。当你在唱的时候，让神对你说话，也将你的眼目定睛在十字架上的耶稣。
Is God speaking to you right now?
是不是有一个人是你心中一直没办法饶恕的？
Has there been someone who you have not been able to forgive?
这件事即便过了很久，但是你心中还没完全释放这个人出来。
So this might have happened very long ago, but you're not able to release this person.
这个不饶恕有时候成为了一个毒钩，以至于影响了我们跟神的关系。
So this unforgiveness may have affected our relationship with God.
神这个时候要你来释放他。
God wants you to release this person.
你的内心是可以饶恕他的。
And you can forgive this person.
你不向他报复，你不追讨他的债。
And you do not ask this person to repay their debts or take revenge.
即便这个时候他还没有悔改认错，但是你依然能够先饶恕他。
Even though this person has not repented, but you have chosen to forgive this person first.
你愿意吗？
Are you willing?
当你选择饶恕的时候，这意味着你也要替他承担他伤害你的那个代价。
We have chosen to forgive, you also chosen to bear this cost.
这个承担代价会带来很大的痛苦。
And this cost will have a lot of suffering on you.
当你饶恕这个人的时候，并不代表你的痛苦就不再有了。
When you forgive this person, it does not mean that you don't have this hurt anymore.
但是我们仰望十字架。
But we look to the cross.
同样的，在他最痛苦的时候，耶稣依然坚持。
Just like how in his most unbearable pain, he also persisted.
耶稣这么说：“父啊，赦免他们。”
He said, "Father, forgive them."
你也一样的可以跟神说。主啊，赦免他。
You can also pray, Father, forgive them.
你愿意吗？
Are you willing?
这时候在你跟神之间的时候，我邀请你，如果你心中有这个感动，你想饶恕这个人，我邀请你这个时候轻轻地把你手举起来，跟神立志说：神啊，我选择饶恕他，不管他有没有求饶恕，我都有选择饶恕他。
So if you've been touched by the Spirit and you want to forgive the person, please raise your hand and you tell God, Lord, I want to forgive this person.
这是你意志上的决定。
And it is something you've made by your own choice.
你的情感虽然有还在受伤，但是你跟神说，我凭着信心愿意先来饶恕他。
Even though you're still hurting emotionally, but by faith you are willing to forgive this person.
你愿意吗？若你愿意，你可以举起你的手，我为你做个祷告。
Are you willing? If you are, please raise your hands and Pastor will pray for you.
你愿意的话，你可以举起你的手，我为你祷告。
Please raise your hands and Pastor will pray for you.
神知道你所受的伤害。
God knows the hurt you have had.
但是耶稣基督替你承担了最重的这个罪债。
But Jesus had borne the biggest cost for us.
你可以把你的手放下，我们一起来祷告。
You can put down your hands, we will pray.
主，我们承认我们是个罪人。
Lord, we confess we are sinners.
我们得罪了你。
And we have offended you.
在这世上，我们也被人冒犯。
But on this world, we have also been offended by others.
主，你不轻看这些冒犯。
Lord, you do not see these things as trivial.
你甚至愿意为他人对我们的冒犯，你愿意走上十字架。
And so much so that you are willing to go on the cross for us.
你愿意替那个人承担那个罪债。
And you are willing to bear the cost for us.
主，如今我要跟随你。
Lord, today I want to follow you.
我也要效法你
and I want to listen to you.
我同样的也要承担那个人对我的罪债
and likewise, I want to bear the cross that the person had done for me.
因为主你先为我们承担了所有世人的罪债
because you have first borne the cross for all of us.
以致我有力量来承担那个人对我的伤害
so that I have the strength to bear this cross that this person had done to me.
主，如今我凭着信心宣告，我释放这个人。
Lord, today I proclaim with faith that I release this person.
我不再怀苦毒。
That I do not hold on to resentment.
我不再要报复他。
I no longer want vengeance.
我求你在适当的时候
，I pray that in the right time,
给我智慧。
You grant me wisdom.
怎么去修复这个关系
？On how to reconcile this relationship.
主啊，你来帮助